Welcome to your typical Shonen protagonist.
I'm Kai.
I'm Kels, and this is a show where we explore different anime series, and this episode is finally our conclusion of Yu-Gi-Oh! Duelist Kingdom.
Yu-Gi-Oh! So we...
Oh my god. You had to do it. So that's probably the worst part of the entire show. Is the fact that before every duel, bar none, Yugi Moto, the kid, has to just scream, Yu-Gi-Oh! To summon the spirit of the puzzle into winning his duels for him. In this episode, we're done with Duelist Kingdom, right?
Yeah, 100%. Like, Joey inexplicably was the winner because he was the only one that got money. Everybody else just basically got with what they came with.
Yep. So Yugi won the championship. Joey took the money to save his sister's eyesight / life, because that's a thing, but not really a thing.
Yeah, for some reason. I don't know.
Everybody wins. Pegasus loses. Life is terrible. But we still have 10 episodes left until the end of the season, quote unquote. Duelist Kingdom is over. Pegasus is defeated. Bakura takes the Millennium Eye. Everything's copacetic, except it's not. So we wind up with what is deemed the Domino City Battles.
Yes, and it's just... I ain't gonna lie, it is definitely almost more entertaining than the rest of it, only because just so much is happening, and this is like the pacing just shot from 0 to 100.
So when we finish what the events of Domino City Battles, we'll sort of recap our opinions and ideas about the whole show in general. But let's break into what happens in the Domino City Battle. So first we break into the girl from America.
We're the girls from America. Well,
the English title being The Wrath of Rebecca.
And I just can't with that title. But
okay, if you can't with this title, you can't with the next title. The English title for this next episode is The Ties of Friendship.
Oh, Taya.
But let's get into this.
Yeah, so this episode focuses around something that happened in the first episode. They kind of just left, you know, floating around. But they're like, you know, 40 episodes, we'll come back. We'll come back and touch on it.
Which I appreciate. Hey, let's close up all of these loose ends and let's put a cap on it, you know? Let's tie up whatever happened in the first episode. Continue.
Yeah, so homegirl, who carries around an obscene amount of luggage, by the way, like, makes no sense. This girl, her age is never even revealed. Isn't she like 10 or something, I think?
Young-ish.
Yeah, so she's giving, like, same height level, like, giving Yugi smat talk. She's like...
Man, that's on Yugi. Yugi shouldn't be so low, but hey...
So, like, she's talking smack, and it doesn't come right out with what she did, which I think is kind of what Yugi did, because they're just kind of like, I didn't do anything, I didn't do this, and then she's like, give me back what you stole from my grandpa, and he's like, I didn't steal anything, and then she's like, you stole my grandpa's blue eyes, and everybody has a flashback, mainly Taya has a flashback, of the car getting ripped, they're like, oh, crap. And to be honest with you, I side with Rebecca. Like, I'm like, how y'all just go rip somebody else's car and just think nothing of it? That's what got me.
Listen, if that was so big of a deal, and that is literally my inheritance, yeah, I'm gonna be mad. That was the most legendary card, per se, episode one. That was about to be my college tuition. You gonna, like, give me my college tuition? I'm only, like, 8.5. But you can never be too early.
Well, she a genius, so.
Boom. Getting into college early. Grandpa can't pay that, except he already did with his blue eyes white dragon. Now pay up. except nobody wants to tell her otherwise. She won't handle it. Everybody's trying to tell her the deal. She can't take it. She's 8.5 years old. So she's like, all right, the only thing I know how to do is beat everybody. So let's duel.
Yeah, so they go and they duel. And they're like, holy crap, she's actually pretty good a duelist. And, you know, it's funny because she was taught by her grandpa. And Yugi was taught by his grandpa. And apparently in all of the, like, flashback matches they had, like, I think, didn't Yugi's grandfather always get the hands? Like, Rebecca's grandfather?
Hey, now. We will get into Yugi's grandpa getting the hands. But the whole point is, Yugi is trained by his grandpa. Rebecca trained by her grandpa. But Rebecca can't get the whole gist of the Heart of the Cards, which is crucial. So she's out here playing real strategies and beating the smut out of Yugi. No. And Yugi believes in the Heart of the Cards. And then we get this weird double, triple, like, flashback about Yugi's grandpa believing in the Heart of the Cards in ancient Egypt.
In a tomb.
Excuse me, like, 20-year-old Egypt with Rebecca's grandpa who gave him the blue eyes white dragon that she's mad about that's been ripped up, and she's not getting her way into college because life sucks. Suck it. Yeah, so there's this whole thing where Yugi's grandpa, Solomon, is stuck in this temple, this ancient Egyptian whatever, with Rebecca's grandfather, Professor
Hawkins. Professor Hawkins.
Yes. That's the one. Yeah, I'm gonna cut all that out. Professor Hawkins. And they play a duel to pass the time because they know they're both gonna die out of water, you know, lack of water. And then out of the Heart of the Cards and respect for his friend, Solomon Moto is like, you know what? I can win. I see the winning play. I'm going to forfeit because you need the water more than I do because you have a PhD and I have an EED.
No, no.
And you know what? In the scale of life, you're important. So I'm going to take the L and I'm not even going to tell you. Here's the water. And what happens? What happens at the end of that? Solomon Moto and Professor Hawkins both get saved, like, yes, at the end of the day, which is cool. Nobody dies. Great.
Eh.
But the power of friendship is real.
Yeah, because, you know, friendship exceeds, like, everything. And so that flashback has happened. And the whole time, which I think is kind of cool, that they're dueling in the past, Yugi and Rebecca are making parallel moves in the present.
Because they're playing both the same decks.
Yeah. And it's just such a cool parallel. And then just like... So, spoiler alert, which this whole series is basically a spoiler alert.
You're on episode 5. spoilers.
So, Yugi forfeits the way... does the same thing his grandfather does. Causing Rebecca to think that she won. And she was like, yeah, I won, give me. And then somehow they out still had the rip card. Like, what blows my mind. And
no, for real. After all of the events of Duelist Kingdom, they still have this taped together blue eyes white dragon.
And
the first episode,
it's hilarious to me. And so she's like, you ripped it, I can't believe that, blah blah blah. And then he's like, I didn't mean to, and all this other stuff happens. And then, like, cool McFlavor cool dude Professor Hawking walks in and he's like, enough Rebecca, stop embarrassing me, or something along the lines of that. And he's like, Rebecca's like, I do what I want, I won. And she's like, and then the grandfather's like, you didn't win. And he walks over to Yugi's side and like flips over this card. And it's like, boom, you could have won the whole duel with this card right here.
Bitch.
And so they're like, oh no, like, okay, I guess I see how this works. I forgive you. And Yugi's like, here's a consolation prize for that super expensive card that Kaiba ripped.
That one card that he won from Maximilian Pegasus for winning the entirety of Duelist Kingdom, like, Spirit of Friendship, he gives away, like, the two episodes after he wins, and it makes zero significance in the first season.
Yeah, like, that card never comes back into play. Ever.
I'm so mad.
It's like Ash giving away all of his Pokemon, like, once he fully involves him. Like, who needs these anymore? I don't know the hard work.
If you're not Pikachu, you're not family.
So messed up. Such an elitist way to think. But, so yeah, Yugi the Elitist is like, here you go. And I'm mad, most of all, because the card looks so cool. Like, it was probably the coolest looking card in Season 1, in my opinion. Like, next to Blackluster Magician, you know. But, so he gave it away, and they're friends, and for some reason, Yugi's low-key crushing on this girl, which is weird.
Oh, no. Don't do it. Because he starts
blushing and stuff. But that's,
don't do it.
That's all of Season 4 and 5. You have to explore that. Which,
yeah, man. Time for her to grow up. Until then, Taya waifu. But Taya, we'll get to that.
Taya got feelings for the Pharaoh. I think, I don't know what Taya's got. Taya crazy.
Hey, it ain't nothing but a, you know, a millennium item thing. Same physical Moving on. So that whole duel happens. And then, of course, because we can't get away, we have to deal with the Kaibas.
Yes, we see how the Motos and friends have settled back into their lives. Now it's time for the Kaibas. And Kaiba, being the absolute boss that he is, y'all was in there, was like, hey, so y'all were trying to take over my company? Like, you think I would notice? Like, try to kill Mokuba? Like, what? And they're like, deep laughter, ha ha ha. And I swear, the same goons that worked for Pegasus are in on this, because same voice actors, by the way. Same ominous voice. So, they finagle Kaiba and Mokuba into this. Well, I think Mokuba's out of it, right? They finagle Kaiba into this virtual world, like, full Sword Art Online. Like,
yeah, man. They're like, hey, we're not evil. Check out this new thing we planned for you. While you were out here beating up the evil that actually wanted to take over your company, here's this cool, super cool virtual reality pod game that we developed that was all based on your idea. Here, look at it. And then, boom, Kaiba is in the virtual world. Body, totally vulnerable. Mind, totally vulnerable.
Sword Art. But,
yes, specifically.
So, Mokuba does what Mokuba does best. Runs away and finds Yugi somehow. And it's like, hey, Yugi, like, I need your help because the police don't exist in our society. So, he gets Yugi and friends. For some reason, Taya's there. I really don't know why. But Yugi and friends to get in board for this virtual world. So they all get in there and head into Sword Art as well. And Kaiba, so while that's going on, we get a cut to Kaiba actually in the virtual world. And he's out here, like, basically just accepting everything as it happens. And it's just like, oh, well, okay, here's this monster. He's like, I gotta find a way out. Like, this makes no sense. And they're like, okay, so it cuts away from Kaiba, and then the big evil corporation people are like, hey, let's look at Kaiba in this world, because apparently we can do that. So They go in maniacal laugh and stare at Kaiba and like, ha ha ha, this is gonna work. And meanwhile, they can't see Yugi's gang sneaking into the building to get into the pods.
To show Kaiba, hey, we now have your torn up blue eyes. Hey, come look at this thing we did forever ago. Hey, we're still friends, right? Even though you're running a company and we're some schmucks. So they roll into Kaiba's facility, presumably under Mokuba's, you know, request.
Yeah.
And they wind up in the virtual reality simulator where they finally get put under. Now, outside of the show and the game, I maintain this as the greatest hits of season one. Let's show the viewer all of the cool monsters and crazy stuff we did with season one. And then at the end of it, the last like seven episodes, we're going to show the viewer what's going to happen in season two with the new game rules. But until we get there, let's show them all the crazy stuff and cool monsters and things we came up with in season one. So Yugi and friends being Yugi and
Joey.
Was there anyone else? Just Mokuba?
I mean, yeah, it was just Yugi, Joey, and Mokuba who actually delved in there at first.
Yeah. So they get into the pods that will take them into the virtual world, which is also a setup for some portion of season two, which all of this is filler, because, of course, we can't watch a typical Shonen protagonist anime without some sort of obscene, crazy filler.
Of course not. Like, you have to have the whole craziness parallel. Like, this is actually another anime inside of this anime.
To which I think about Sailor Moon Season 2, Part 1, with, like, the tree people.
Oh, God.
But we're getting into some shoujo, which heaven forbid we do that.
We'll save that for another time.
Specifically, yes. But Yugi, Joey are now into the virtual world.
Yes, and they are, the first fight they have is in a graveyard zombie fight. So they're going at it, they're fighting the zombies, and then they slowly realize that, you know, the rules of the game apply because they're beating these graveyard monsters and they keep coming back, but they're coming back stronger. So that's,
and they only apply in a, we don't regain the stats. We only lose our life points.
Yeah, so that's, they figure out basically that the game is tailored against them. So then they get out of there, and they go on a quest, and Joey finds a card that has an overall scheming purpose with it to do things. So card number 5, I believe it is, correct?
I'm going to take your word on that. So they get through the graveyard area, quote unquote. Eventually they happen on a city, and in the city they happen on like a gladiatorial arena, and they have to win. You win the arena or you lose everything. And if you lose everything in the virtual world, you presumably die. Which you presumably die in every match in Yu-Gi-Oh! If you got bad eyeballs, if you got the Shadow Realm, if you got, I don't know,
magic puzzles
attached. Yeah, that'll do it too. If you lose a match, you presumably die. And if you don't die, you're lucky, right? So in this match, presumably, if they don't win the Colosseum match, they die. So who shows up? Who's the big baddie of the Colosseum?
The big baddie of the Colosseum is who it's the ogre.
My Valentine.
Yes.
Out of nowhere. Out of literally nowhere. My Valentine shows up and is the big baddie of the Colosseum.
Yes, not the Jabba the Hutt ogre dude.
No, which was the swerve, right?
Yeah.
To which Mai doesn't want to murder her friends, as we have learned from, you know, most of season one. So her goal is to help them get out of the Colosseum, which she does. And that shows no significant circumstances once they escape. Well, we're out, we're free, whatever. Hey, cool, great.
Yeah.
And they get their own sort of personal armor that fits the legendary heroes of the game.
Because, of course, there has to be legendary heroes. Because it's, yeah. You know.
They look sort of like, kind of, not really, don't look too hard. Kind of like their own sort of playeristic vibe. The only one that looks like their own character is Mai and her Harpy's Lady's armor. Yugi looks too cool. I'm not mad at either. Yugi looks too cool with the shoulder pads. Joey looks too dumb with his sort of barbarian like cloak.
Yeah, like
cross thing. And like the skull on the dome. We get it. He's a dog, but whatever. But finally, all of the friends make it to the final battle, which is all the Yugi and friends versus all of the people who have led Kaiba Corp up until now.
Yes. Let us not forget to mention, though, that the princess is Mokuba.
Yes. The virtual princess is based on Mokuba.
Because
I'm on my business now.
Yeah. Yu-Gi-Oh! Did it first.
Live your life, Mokuba. Live your life. And if that ain't you, you got asshole friends.
For real.
But they make it to the final fight. They make it to the final boss. Which the final boss is like some weird conglomeration. We finally reached the digital world.
Oh,
right.
My God.
Yeah. Now we've reached whatever the final boss of the Digimon movie is, and Diaboromon. Suddenly, sure, we see all manner of digital things coming across the top and the bottom of the screen, and we've got this five-headed dragon, which is made up of water, fire, and random BS.
All the stuff the Fire Nation attacked, you know. So the Decahedron starts going off, and it's like each voice is like, let me monologue real quick about how this was such a great plan and everything. And they're all here, and they're like, yeah, we got this. And then coincidentally, what you didn't know what was happening, because plot, each one of the people brought to the virtual world possesses a dragon. So,
hold on. You didn't know that Yugi was the dragon knight? You weren't ready for Yu-Gi-Oh to discommand all of your dragons? Because that's what's about to happen. Yugi, Kaiba, team up, boom. Master of the Dragon Knight, which is literally the name of the translated episode.
And, like, let me tell you, this is cold. Like, this is clean. Like, I remember my young childhood being like, wow, this is what's up. Like, because it was that different blue eyes. It was sleeker. Like, and the Blackluster Soldier Master dude was like, I got this. Like, so the cleanliness happens. Like, the cleanliness so clean that Corona would crumble in his wake. Goes and is like, hey, man, just so you know, my power 9,000. Like, you ain't never seen anything like this in the series before. Like, And he just, like, the thing is, he goes all, like, Dragon Ball Z fusion rainbow attack on the dragon. And just ends it in one attack. And the thing that gets me is everybody changed clothes except Kaiba. Kaiba's like, I ain't changing my fit. I'm doing this in my normal everyday wear. Like, and
Kaiba didn't meet any NPCs to buy any clothes from, bruh. Learn your game.
He had the one he was attacked by, you know, the Joker-looking dude, imp guy.
But if Joker-looking imp guy didn't sell him any clothes, he couldn't change fit. Duh. But yeah, good guys win, bad guys lose. What does that mean for Kaiba Corp? I don't know. But what that means for us is we're done, right? All this crazy stuff from season one is over, right?
Yep, it's over. We're done. There's nothing totally involving a different type of game.
Nope, not involving a different type of game. Nothing involving any of our former antagonists. Nothing. Not a lick. We're done. We're finally moving on. Until we get to Dungeon Dice Monsters. So enter
Dungeon Dice Monsters.
Episode 46. We still have four more episodes. I like how they padded this out. Four more episodes of BS Dungeon Dice Monsters. Part 1. Episode 46. Bruh, Duke Devlin, our Dungeon Dice Monsters creator, is seen looking out a window down on Yugi in the attempt to, oh, you're the king of games, so I got a game, let me beat you at it. You can't beat the creator. Unlike Pegasus, who beat the creator. You beat Pegasus, but you're not as good at Pegasus. So you can't beat me, because Pegasus only beat me.
Well, his whole thing was to prove that Yugi didn't actually beat Pegasus, that he must have cheated, because there's no way you can beat the creator. So,
that's sure, right, because Pegasus didn't cheat, right?
Yeah, you know, so he goes all, like, let's go on, like, Yugi, and Yugi's like, okay, explain the rules. And Duke's like, yeah, it's simple. There's only this one thing you have to worry about. This is one singular thing.
Only this. Only this thing.
And
nothing
then,
else. You ain't got to worry about nothing else. Only this thing.
And then it starts. And Duke's like, yeah, no, there's multiple things. So.
Oh, you didn't know? Oh, you didn't know about them different shapes and colors?
Yeah, you didn't know about the way it could move and like all this. And if you ask me, Dice Monsters is way too complicated to be. It looked fun, but it's like the type of game people who play Sudoku for fun play. Like, man, it was.
I'm mad that there was a Game Boy Advance game based on these four episodes of Yu-Gi-Oh!
See, I'm mad that I didn't play it because
I'm mad that I had it and didn't understand past the first level.
I'm mad but that coincidentally Duke Devlin went to the same school as Yugi. Like, what is this school?
Wait a minute. Hold up. You're bringing a revelation here.
Yeah, they're just like, yo, I go to the school because this is the best school to go to ever.
School doesn't matter in Yu-Gi-Oh.
It doesn't matter in real life.
A little too real. But what's the big play here? So, sort of meta level, I maintain that the previous sort of the legendary hero arc is that we're sort of seeing the greatest hits of all of the monsters that happened through season one. Here's Blue Eyes, here's the ultimate, you know, whatever. Here's Joey playing his stuff. Here's Yugi playing his stuff. Here's the Dark Magician. All of this crazy stuff.
Yeah, man. And like,
and that. Continue.
I was going to say, this is crazy stuff. And this is the best part about the end of season one is you get a preview of the fit for season two. You know?
Yes. Like, so I haven't read the manga. But I feel like in the same way that we have looked at previously with the the labyrinth duels and the different terrain and the different rules you can see in all of these duels that aren't don't necessarily translate to the game, that Dungeon Dice Monsters is a way for the mangaka to change up the story, to change up the way they can tell the story with different game rules. To be the way that the viewer now conceives season two, right? Which we see doesn't necessarily hold up. But it's an attempt for them to change the story in the same way they changed the story back in season zero to fall in line with what the viewer, with what the reader wanted to see, you know?
Yeah, but the cards were, you know, big money whammy, so the cards were gonna stick. Like, and Dice Monsters, you're gonna be wrong. It's you see an intricacy in it where it mirrors Duel Monsters, but it also has some things different. And throughout the process, Yugi does, and this is a cool part because you get to see Yugi actually. Because outside of this, all you've seen is him play Duel Monsters. So this is where you get to see him actually live up to the title, the King of Games.
And yeah, other than the King of Duel Monsters, yeah.
Yeah, because honestly, this is really the first time where, you know, you see him play anything besides Duel Monsters. So, and this whole thing that is happening, like, Yugi agrees to the fight because Duke Devlin made Yugi, or made Joey, a dog because he lost the first duel. So, Yugi's out here dueling for his friend's honor, so that plays into the whole part of Yugi being like, I'm gonna use the heart of the dice, because...
Yeah, man. Heart of whatever I have in front of me. So one thing, Joey shouldn't be a punk. Joey Square lost a duel. Hold on, I had this in front of me. But yeah, Joey confronted Devlin and lost a regular duels monster duel. Like a punk.
Yeah, like, you gotta at least, if you took second or third, or whatever spot you took in Duel's Kingdom, then, you know, you gotta come correct.
So hold up, he lost two sort of games, right? He lost a dice and a cup between Joey Will and Duke Ledlin to, like, have the duel. And then Joey lost a regular-ass duel. Like, you can't lose two games in a row and still have me respect you next season, even if you cured your sister's disease. So the whole point being, Duel Dice Monsters was cool and all, right? Bunch of crazy gameplay, bunch of, we're learning new steps, cool, great, awesome. Joey's a dog until he's not a dog by saved by his friends based on the Kaiba versus Joey duel and the Devlin versus Joey duel. Whatever. And the one cool thing I think we got out of all of this that connected it back was the fact that Duke Devlin had this game idea. And he made it and he worked on it so hard. And he submitted it to Industrial Illusions, which was Pegasus's company. And Maximilian Pegasus hollered at him. He was like, hey, I like your idea. I'm going to fly you out. So he flies him out. And then they play a game. They play a game knowing Pegasus is a real cheat, like a whole real cheat.
As Pegasus does.
But he's still like, hey, I like the game. Let's cut a deal. And then the Duelist Kingdom adventure happens. And the deal doesn't happen. And then Duke Devlin's mad. And then, of course, surprise, Yugi wins, and then turn around, the deal does happen, even though Lord knows what's happened going on with Pegasus, but the deal goes through. He gets a letter in the mail while Yugi and friends are chilling in Duke Devlin's lobby. Yeah. He's surprised I got the deal going through. We're going to publish the game. Crazy.
And they're like, congratulations and everything. And then, you know, it's basically over. Like, that's the end of season one. And then Duke goes on to be a mainstay in the cast.
I wanna BS you right now, but does he?
Yeah, no, he's in there for the like every other season.
Bro, you had to make us push aside whatever whatever show we were about to watch, and now like push Yu-Gi-Oh! Season 2. We're not a Yu-Gi-Oh! Podcast, but we might have to watch Season 2 right now because you BSing me.
I'm telling you, man, he is a mainstay. Like, he's in Season 4, like, competing with Tristan.
Okay, for Serenity's I quit love. Right now. I give up. In Season 4? Mm-mm.
He is. Facts. Unfortunately, I've watched almost every episode of Yu-Gi-Oh! Except I, for some reason, never watched Season 5. And then when Season 5 got took off Netflix, that's when I wanted to watch it. So now I have to find Season 5 again.
We'll pivot back around. But that's basically, don't come at us. Basically, the end of Season 1, along with an extra BS. So we're deep into Episode 5. So what's your general thoughts of Yu-Gi-Oh! Season 1? Duelist Kingdom, your experience previously, your experience now, like what's your feels?
So when I went into it as a kid, it was the hypest thing to ever hit the universe. Like, I loved it. It was everything. And rewatching it, it was rough. I definitely see why as a kid, I was so enamored with it. And don't get me wrong, there's still a lot of things that hold up great to this day that, you know, only a mainstay like Yu-Gi-Oh! Can do. I love the style. I love the care that's put in it. But dear Lord, if the strategy isn't just cheating and screw the rules, that's the biggest thing coming back at it all these years. That and just how annoying Taya was. I was like, Taya was not... I actually used to have a little bit of a crush on Taya as a kid. Now I'm like,
it'll come.
Gosh, don't worry about it. Like,
just forget about season one. So, in my impression, like, outside of the show, the story they're telling, which is good, right?
Yeah.
Like, I find a greater appreciation for the story that the animators. And that the mangaka and that the editor is telling here, right? They have a job, they have a goal, and they're trying to achieve that goal, that story, in equal parts of what's going to pay the bills versus what's going to tell the best story. And I find a greater appreciation as I watch this stuff, especially like season one, before it gets picked up by our bigger studio, because this is by Studio Scallop.
Yeah,
I think, don't quote me on that, but it's before one of like the bigger names named studios. So I can appreciate the investment of time, the investment of money, and like the passion in telling the story before you get better talent in being able to achieve that, whether that's talent in animation, whether that's talent in voice acting, whether that's talent in writing. Like I grow to appreciate these things in the point in life I am now versus where I was. Like, I love this year. I watched this up until, definitely partway through season two, you know?
Yeah.
Like I can recall through the God Monster cards and them fighting on the banks of this random river that had high, like, cement walls, and suddenly we're going to summon Sly for the Sky Dragon and murder everybody, and this random guy with the bald head and didn't have any weird eyeballs just died. Whatever, man. Whatever. Cool. But I find myself going back to this season and, like, appreciating. Sure, it was rough. Sure, it was weird. But I can see this being me with some sort of capital to make a project that I believe in and getting this out to the world, you know?
True. And this is and have such a strong season one, like at that.
Yes.
Like coming from where we are in the design world and content creation in general, like for you to hammer out 50 episodes and like it be like, and for 40 of those episodes to be a continuation story, like that's pretty, yeah, that's a significant accomplishment. And
bruh, and the fact that it took Toei to pick up the first half of your written story and then to drop it, and then for someone else to pick it back up once Duel Monsters picked up in like excitement, for another company to come back and pick up your story, for you then to continue to produce your anime, like that's a story of persistence right there. Outside of the game, outside of the story, you know, which is exciting.
Yeah, man, for sure. And it's just one of those things where you really appreciate it, and you really are like, wow, like let's appreciate this. And that's how I feel about Yu-Gi-Oh. Let's appreciate this and let's move on. Because 50 episodes yes. later, yes. yeah.
Yes. To which we will pick back up with Yu-Gi-Oh! At some point in our pursuit of this podcast. But for right now, it's time to move on to a different project. Yes. So one thing we've been talking about is a new product. We don't have a name for it. We don't have a cost for it. Other than us just wanting a more current conversation going. To which we will pick up one of those involving the new current Digimon reboot anime that's going on. I'm not current, Kai is, but by the time we bring you our product, it will be as current as possible. What else are you thinking for that, bruh?
What other shows am I thinking?
Yeah.
We definitely want to
spit some out, I don't care.
We definitely want to meet where you guys are. We want to do some God of War because that is a webtoon that got turned into anime, and it's hot right now. And people are like, "Oh my gosh! Like, what else do webtoons have to offer?" So we definitely want to touch on that. We want to throw it way back to the to the original Digimon, and give you guys that as well. And
now, you're hardcore giving some spoilers now. Product A, we're going to be bringing you, you know, next Monday, we're going to be bringing you some original Digimon product. So don't be fretting about that. We're going to compare and contrast some of the new reboot going on with how the original started, which don't be surprised if it takes the original to get up some speed. But we'll deal with that, you know? We'll deal with that. But do be expecting more than one episode. I haven't even imagined how we're going to fit this into our editorial schedule. But hey, whatever. We'll make it work. But yeah, man. That's been our opinion of Yu-Gi-Oh! Season 1 through the extra BS, along with some stuff that's coming up. So if you're interested, you still here? Let me open up the script. Yeah, I got that. You know, before we go, check out the audio version of this show on Spotify and a YouTube upload on YouTube, and follow us on Twitter.
Yeah.
That's Twitter at your TSB. That's URTSB. As we live tweet our research, share our memes, and interact with a community of wonderful weebs. Next episode of the main product, catch us talking about Digimon. What's the first season of Digimon called?
Adventure.
Digimon Adventure 1.
Yes.
Digimon Adventure.
Digimon Adventure 1. Because there's Digimon Adventure 2.
Digimon always has me messed up with the name and convention. But yeah, next episode, believe you me, we're going to be talking about Digimon Adventure. So catch us then, and we'll see y'all later.
Peace.